Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Thank you for sharing your gifts and your talents. Celebrating our worship with us. If you take a moment and open up your bulletin, you'll find sermon notes, which we'll be referring to during this morning's message. We all have a different perspective on what Christmas is about. For some of us, Christmas will become part of a habit. It's a time on the calendar. It's a season that we go through, and we just kind of pass through it, and maybe we'll get to Christmas, we'll go through opening gifts, and pretty soon we'll pass through and move on to other things. But the story of Christmas, the story that we come to celebrate, is a story about people that were used by God in a transforming way. We gather to remember that spirit of Christmas, that attitude that interrupts our busy lives. We find that at times our lives are filled with routine. We go through the motions of life. We get into habits that we feel comfortable with, what our Monday through Friday life looks like. We get into routines, but pretty soon routines become rituals. And those rituals become ruts. And we just keep doing the same thing over and over. We go through a time of motion without meaning. Our days are filled with events and activities, but they're never strung together that we're actually going somewhere. We have no goals or no destination to which we're being called. And so in this life, we tend to go as fast as we can to nowhere in particular. And at the end of our days, and we find this with almost everybody, have you ever heard somebody say, "What happened to the time?" We're making great time, we just don't know where we're going. We just have no goals. We don't have a destination. Into our busy and hectic lives, sometimes God tries to interrupt. He tries to break in. He's knocking at the door. There are people, there are events that reach out to try and nudge us and say, "Wake up, there is more that is happening here than what you realize." And we've been talking over the last couple of weeks of ordinary people, very simple people that God spoke to and they responded. We've talked about Mary and Joseph, about the challenges that they would face as God reoriented their life and involved them in a great story. We talked last week about the shepherds, about how they were going through their normal everyday life when God broke in and told them and revealed something very deep and very profound. And I kind of wonder, as we've gathered here this morning, as we've gathered here for countless Sundays, will this be a Sunday for you when God interrupts the normal routine and says, "Here I am, come follow me"? This morning, we want to look at another group of people that I think reflects a lot of how most of us live our lives. They're going through what they knew to be true, what God was leading them to do, until at the very end, God sent them on a detour. And I wonder, as you think about your own life and where you are you today, do you know somebody? Or are you going through a detour in your life? You thought life would just go down a merry path. Everything would work out just as you had it planned. Until something happened, a phone call, a friend, an invitation, something changed that normal, fast-paced life, and you began to get off and see things differently. This morning, we're going to talk about the story of the Magi, those travelers from the east that came searching for a king. They were responding to what they knew that God was calling them to do. But what really struck me, or what really kind of intrigued me about this story, is really the very last line of the story. And so this morning we're going to open up the book and we're going to ask, is God inviting us to an interruption in our day-to-day life? Will you join with me as we center our lives and hear God speak to us this morning? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Reading from Matthew, the second chapter. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and he said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for your word, for your disruptions, and for your challenges to our lives. May we be awakened this morning as you speak to us through the Magi. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we don't know a lot about the Magi. We speculate that there were three, primarily because there were three gifts. Tradition has actually said that they came from a place near Babylon. They traveled from Babylon west to Jerusalem. They have been given names, and actually they are referenced in the writings of Marco Polo. In the 15th century, Marco Polo went from Italy to China and back, and on the journey he had written that he came across the graves of the three Magi, the three sepulchers of the Magi, in the Far East. And so we have some record that the Magi, at least some record, that they actually existed. But their story has captivated us over the centuries of these regal Magi that have traveled, come to Jerusalem. They're on a journey. They're actually on a quest. They're looking for something. They have been given a sign that a king has been born. And instead of it just being an academic exercise, something that they can say, "We have looked at the star and there seems to be something going on there. We ought to write a paper on this or present it at the next symposium," they make a journey. And not just a simple journey, not just across town, a long, arduous journey across desert lands to a place that maybe they've never been before, where people are different and they speak differently. And they finally come to Jerusalem. And they ask around, but people are startled by their news. King Herod is startled, disturbed, and all of the people, everybody is abuzz about these travelers that have come. But they are sent on their way, and they finally come to Bethlehem and or Nazareth. There is some debate as to when the Magi arrived. They present their gifts, but what has really captivated me about this story is what happens right at the very end of the story. At the very end, they have presented their gifts, and it says at the end that having been warned in a dream, they return to their country by a different route. Now, you probably know this as well as anybody, that in those days, they did not have multiple highways. They didn't have street signs saying, take this exit. It would not have been a trivial matter for them to go by another route. The main route was the secure way, the way that would have been the superhighway of that time. It would have been the easiest, it would have been the most expedient route to get back to their home. But they had been warned to go by another route. They had been given a detour. And I wonder sometimes in our own faith journey, in our own life, if we wanted or if we always look for the easiest, the most convenient way to accomplish our goals and our life stories. But what happens in your life, what happens in any of us when there is a detour? I like this quote that's up on the screen. The best discoveries always happen to the people who weren't looking for them. It's that time of God breaking in, of saying it's time to get off of the main highway, the easy way, the way that everybody else goes, and follow me. And we find this happening over and over again. The calling of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, leaving their nets, the predictable, easy path of life, and say, come, follow me. Of Matthew sitting at the tax collector, his life, though not perfect, is certainly one of predictability and ease. He gives it all up to follow Jesus. Whenever we are faced with detours, wherever you may be going these holiday seasons, traveling on the highway, when there is a sign that says detour ahead, there is a sense of anxiety because we as human beings are constantly looking for the easiest way, the fastest way to get to where we want to go. And yet God is trying to break in to reveal more about who we are, about what is possible, what is lying within us, if we'll just get off the beaten path just a little bit. You see, whenever we encounter a detour, detours always come at an inconvenient time. They're unpredictable. They're often confusing, and they're always challenging. We despise the detours in our lives, and yet we know that they come to all of us. Everybody in this room and everybody that you know has had to deal with detours in their life story. Nobody goes through life unscathed. We gather this morning as a community to share that journey, to share our experiences, our wisdom, to recognize that we are all to some extent on a detour of life, that things are changing for us. And yet in the story of the Magi, even as they were encouraged by God to go a different route, there are some things that we can learn about the detours that we go through in life. Think about what has to be going through the Magi's head as they hear this. They have an entourage. These are Magi that have come on a great journey. There are many people with them, and now they have to go home. And as they're getting ready to go home, what do you think they're thinking? I want to get home quickly. I want to get back to my home, my family, my people. And when we want to take a trip, we want to go the fastest route and get home as soon as we can. Except one or many, some of them woke up that morning and said, you know, I'm just feeling that we ought to take the long route home. I think that we ought to try and go, in my case, travel to Pennsylvania. We ought to go to Pennsylvania through Grafton. We ought to snake through the mountains to get there. How do you think that would go over with the family? What do you say we just look at some trees on the way home? What do you think? Are you crazy? Take the highway. Take the easy way. We know what's going to happen there. They take a detour. God moves them on a different route. Why is that important to us? The first thing that we have to understand about detours is detours have value. Everybody goes through detours. We don't have all of the answers. But what we recognize is God is telling them something about a warning. He's telling the Magi, Herod is not all that he seems. Don't go back to Jerusalem. Don't go back that way. Avoid that. Now, at this point in the story, the killing of the innocents has not occurred. And so the Magi have only been warned, this is not a good way to go. Have you ever said to somebody in your family or had somebody say to you, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I've seen it play out for other people. That's not a wise choice. It's a warning. I wouldn't do that. The Magi listened to the Spirit of God moving within them, and it saved the Christ child. It gave them time to escape. It allowed them to make a journey to Egypt. The thing is whenever we are on a detour, whatever it may be that's going on in your life, it affects other people. There are other people that are affected by how you respond. As a Christian and as a believer, how we respond to those detours, to those times of uncertainty, have a profound effect on the people that are around us. If we lose our control, if we lose our cool, everybody knows that it was just a false faith. But if we listen to what God is doing and we trust, we know that other people are being impacted. Think about the detours that you've had to face, the challenges to get off of the main path, and to take that detour to who knows where, to lose control a little bit, to not know where the path will end up, but to trust that you will get out okay in the end. The first thing that we learn from the Magi is detours have value. The second thing that we learn is detours provide or require a deeper sense of faith. We have to trust that God knows where He's leading us. We have to trust that God cares deeply for us and will never put us somewhere that He cannot save us. I like this passage from Galatians. Paul is writing, he said, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Detours are that challenge to whether you want to throw up your hands and give up and say, it's just not going to happen. At least not the way I envisioned it happening. Are you willing to take that chance and take that step? We all have to face detours because they challenge us to explore new areas. Have you ever kind of driven down one of the big highways and there are all of these little signs, these little detours? We call them tourist traps, right? Get off and see whatever it may be, the biggest ball of twine. Have you ever tried that one before? Sometimes you have to get off the beaten path to see and experience the colorful people that are around you. One of the great tragedies, I think, of our time is that we're moving faster and faster, doing more, getting more accomplished, but without any real purpose or meaning. There are no memories that are being created. There's no joy in what we're doing. We're just doing it faster, and we're getting nowhere, at least nowhere significant. Sometimes whenever you get off of the main highway, you have to travel a little bit slower. You have to be a little bit more aware of what's going on around you. And you have to kind of look for those signs. You have to trust that those signs are going to get you where you need to be. Sometimes God puts detours in our life to challenge us, to recognize that there's more to us than what we even realize. And finally, and I think this is perhaps most significant, detours provide or create adventure. They create adventure. They challenge us. We get to try new things. We recognize that our lives are not stagnant and sterile. They're not in a rut, but that God is awakening things within us. There's more to us. There's more that's going on around us. We have to lose sight of the shore from time to time if we want to experience new insights, new wisdom. And so sometimes people will invite you to be a part of ministry teams. that may not have been part of your plan, but maybe God is inviting you to do something new. Experience something more wonderful than what we realize. Christmas is not a season in the calendar. It's the beginning or the opportunity of a new life, a new opportunity to grow, to take the beaten path, and to see what God is doing in the world around us. I invite you this Christmas to look at your life. Look at the detours that have gotten you where you are, and ask if God is using you to experience new things, to see new wonders, to create value and majesty in the world around you, to change your life and that of your family. This Christmas, God is interrupting the normal, humdrum, monotonous day-to-day life and saying, come and see. A miracle is unfolding. Will you join me in that miracle? Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks this morning that your message inspires and quickens us to see all that you're doing, and you're inviting us to be a part of it. Let us not turn down this invitation, but to embrace the joy of your message. In Jesus' name, amen.